Here we go. A father and a son were looking at a nativity scene in a London art gallery. It was a world-famous painting of the Christmas scene at Bethlehem. The boy asked, "Dad, why is the baby lying in such a dirty cradle in a pile of straw?" "Well, son," explained the father, "they were poor, and they couldn't afford anything better." The boy replied, "Then how come they could afford to have their picture painted by such an expensive artist?" Yeah. A mother discovered her 5-year-old daughter drawing with her crayons. "What are you drawing?" she asked. "A picture of God," the little girl said. The mom replied, "No one knows what God looks like." The girl answers, "They will when I get done." What is it about parents that always have to put the kibosh on stuff? Like the parent actually says, "You don't know what the Lord looks like." Like, why do you even say that? It's just kind of funny. But with that being said, there are times when having children at your side just lightens the load. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Well, I was thinking a little bit this morning as I was going through this message about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot that you can answer in regard to that question, what's it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? For instance, we are called personally to follow him and to be with him, not just here on earth, but for all eternity, everlasting life. We are called to die to ourselves and to live a life of obedience to the king. You know he's a king, right? Yeah, he does not run a democracy. He is a king. And if we're going to live a life of a disciple, it means we bow the knee to the king. I mean, that's how it goes. And that is not always an easy thing to do, is it? I mean, think about it. We have to deal with the world and the temptations that the world gives us. We live on a world where the devil is alive and still active. Yes, he's a defeated foe. Jesus has already conquered. He's already won. But the battles we face are still very real. And so we've got to deal with the temptations of the world. We've got to deal with the devil himself. Not to mention, we have to deal with our own flesh or sinful nature. That's that part of us that is still there that is hostile to the Lord. And we'll say, "Well, I'm going to do things my own way." Anybody ever been there? Yeah. It's not always an easy thing to deal with. By the way, the flesh or the sinful nature wants what the devil and the world have to give many times. So the three of them kind of get into cahoots together, right? So it's not easy. It can be downright tough to live a life of obedience and humility for the Lord. Your flesh hates it. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. It's like that old Frank Sinatra song. The flesh wants to do it our way, right? I did it my way. That's the anthem of the flesh. But I do believe that we can do it. Meaning, I believe that we can live a life of obedience, a life of submission to the king. Now, why do I say this so confidently? Especially when we're up against the world, the devil, and we have to deal with our own flesh. Well, the answer is actually rather simple. And that's because the Holy Spirit is by our side. More than that, the Holy Spirit actually lives within you. This is why we say things like this: when you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Sure. The Bible calls us as Christians the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's a very descriptive thought. In the Old Testament times, the presence of God literally lived in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, enshrined in between the cherubim above the Ark of the Covenant. Well, he ain't there no more, but he does live within us by the Holy Spirit. This is also why we can say that he who lives in me is greater than he who is in the world. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. He is called to our side, but again, more than that, he literally lives within us. And so it's kind of a corny thing, but when I walk over here, the Holy Spirit's just moved. When I come back over here, the Holy Spirit has moved back. Now, you can get all spiritual, as I know you're already thinking, because you're all very spiritual people. Well, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit, and unless he tells you to go over there, you better not do it. You get the illustration that I'm making, right? You get the point. The Spirit lives within us as disciples of Jesus. And as such, what I want to do tonight is I want to take a look at what the Holy Spirit brings to the table in our lives. Now, we're not going to make a list of everything the Bible says. We might look at some other characteristics of the Spirit next week. We'll see how the Lord leads. But we are going to take a look at a couple of different things. And the first one is this. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. Many translations will translate that word as counselor or comforter. Take a look, if you will, at John 14, verses 25 through 27. This is the Apostle John writing, and he is quoting Jesus in these verses. Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's Jesus speaking of the Spirit in the book of John. Jesus is not done speaking of the Spirit in the book of John. Take a look at John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." This is Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit. We see here he's our advocate. We see that he is our counselor. We see that he is our comforter. Those are wonderful English words. What does it actually mean? Well, it really speaks to the fact that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Again, he is called to our side. Someone who is there in the good times and in the bad times. And when I get to thinking of the fact that he is on our side, you know what it speaks to me? It means that he is for you as well. And he wants to see you succeed as a disciple. I get frustrated because I fear that there's still this thought that God is kind of sitting up in heaven just waiting to see if you fall out of line. Because for whatever reason, he enjoys knocking you when you're down. Right? There is that kind of thought out there in certain Christian realms where God is seemingly unhappy with you all the time and you better fall into line. Otherwise, and forgive the French, but I use it biblically, there will be hell to pay. I love the vision and the wording of Jesus' words here. He is called to your side. He is on your side. He is for you. He is for your marriages. He is for your families. He's for your kids. He's for your parents. He's for this congregation. He's for the city of Allentown. Now, that's a little bit different, especially when you look at Allentown as those who don't know Jesus. He's not called to their side like he is with us. I mean, you have to put your faith in Jesus to have the Spirit come and live within you. But he's still on their side. He wants to see them redeemed. You know, God wants to see people saved. This is why we're doing this huge, big outreach for Easter, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Good Friday service, I believe, at 6:30 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. Easter egg hunt. We could have hundreds of kids. And then Sunday service, which is going to be totally geared towards folks who don't know the Lord. And I'm hoping to see this place packed out and a number of people give their lives to Jesus. Why should we care? Because God cares. Because he loves. And I think this is such a great reminder for us that he really is on your side and he loves you very much. So this is the Holy Spirit. He is the advocate. He is the counselor. He is the comforter. And so what I want to do then is take a look at what does the counselor, comforter, advocate bring to the table? A couple of things. Number one, It said here that he will give glory to Jesus. That's one of the Holy Spirit's jobs, is to bring glory to Jesus. Jesus himself said that just a moment ago. Interesting question. How will the Holy Spirit bring glory to Jesus? And I think the answer is fairly clear. He's going to bring glory to Jesus through you and through me as disciples. Remember, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who would lead us, guide us. The scripture says we are to walk by the Spirit. And as we're doing that, he is literally glorifying Jesus. And he's glorifying Jesus through you, through me. He also will guide us in all truth. It's a great verse, isn't it? He'll guide us in all truth. Interestingly, before we jump into it, if you are walking in the truth, you're naturally going to give glory to Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no lie in Jesus. When we walk in the truth, Jesus will be glorified. I think it's just kind of cool how the two work together. Anyway, how will he guide us in all truth? I think that's a good question. Well, number one, he's going to remind you and me everything that Jesus taught. That's one of his jobs, to remind you everything that Jesus taught. What did Jesus teach? Well, I got it up on the overhead, but my wife normally has a Bible here somewhere, and she's shirking her responsibilities and wifely duties. She's not, actually. I'm going to hear about that later. So I got a Bible. This is what Jesus taught. Think about the life of Jesus for a second. First of all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, correct? So God, the scripture says, is the one who actually wrote the Bible through the hands of men, Genesis through Revelation. So obviously the Word of God is going to be the heart of Jesus. So when you read this, you're literally reading the Word of God. With that being said, when Jesus was on earth, he taught from the Bible, specifically the Old Testament, all the time. And when he wasn't teaching from the Old Testament, you know what he was kind of doing? In essence, he was writing the New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the apostles, after Jesus died and rose again and went back into heaven, wrote a bunch of letters. Those letters became the New Testament. And the letters are everything that Jesus taught. So, thank you very much. Jesus taught the scriptures. And I love how the Holy Spirit will take the Bible and bring it to our remembrance. I remember once, years and years ago, I was in the sanctuary of a church that I was serving in the Poconos. I was a staff pastor. I was probably a youth pastor at the time. And I was in the front of the sanctuary, and I was praying. I don't know what I was praying about. I don't recall. But the one thing that I remember was I was all discombobulated. I don't know if I was upset, down, was I wrestling with a temptation? Did something happen with one of my youth? I can't really recall. All I know is I was a bit aggravated and agitated. And I'm walking and pacing in the front of the sanctuary like I normally do when I pray. And all of a sudden, the Lord, the Holy Spirit in me, breaks through with a scripture. I don't remember the scripture. All I remember is in that moment, it all cleared up like that. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes you have to wrestle through things a little bit longer. But it was one of those moments where the Holy Spirit brought the Word of God to my mind, the exact word that I needed at that moment, and I was free from whatever it is I was dealing with. And I went off, and I remember being filled with joy and peace, which are two very, very good things, right? That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to do just that, to remind us everything that Jesus taught. Here's the deal. If the Holy Spirit is going to remind us everything that Jesus taught, we need to know what Jesus taught in the first place, right? We need to know the Word of God. How can the Holy Spirit remind us of something if we don't know it, right? It's a great question. So we need to know the Word of God. Wendy had a brilliant stroke, and I'm saying this for two reasons. One is because it was brilliant, and it ties into the message, and two, because I want to get back on your good side. She had the idea about 2 weeks ago that each of our kids, and there's five of them, so we did it alphabetically Monday through Friday, would bring a verse to the table in the morning before they went to school. So Anna went on Monday, and then it's what? Jeremiah, Joshua, Josiah, and then Rachel brings us home into the weekend on Friday. And we've been pretty good. What we do is we then take that and read it. They either write it out completely on a little note card, or they write the address of it, and you go look it up in the Bible, and then we talk about it. It's kind of cool because Wendy usually goes to work before me, and I got to stay home with the two youngest, get them on the bus, and then I come here. So it's myself, Jeremiah, and Anna. So today was Wednesday, which means it was Joshua's scripture. So we got it out. Can't read the boy's handwriting. You'd swear he's still 7 years old. But hey, I'm no different, no better, so I can't really say a whole lot. We read the scripture, and then Jeremiah, Anna, and I talk about it. And sometimes they come up with some really good stuff. Sometimes they go out in left field like kids can go. But what's cool about it is, and what makes it such a great idea, is the fact that they are literally looking up verses or taking verses that they're reading in their own devotional times, especially the older ones, and they're bringing it to the family. And then a couple of times last week, we would take that scripture and read it in the evening at the dinner table. We need to know the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit's going to remind us, we need to know what it says. Otherwise, I'm having a hard time believing that the Holy Spirit can actually do that. Now, you'd say, well, hold on. Nothing is impossible to God. Yes, but He works in certain ways, right? We need to know the Word. And by the way, interesting comparison here. The Word of God is both written, and the Word of God is also flesh. Because Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. So the more that you get to know your Bibles, not only the better shot the Holy Spirit has of reminding you, but you're going to know Jesus better too. See, that's the payoff. God's intent was never for us simply to know the Bible. We've got to be careful that we don't put the Bible above Jesus. It's like, oh man, I just memorized 27 verses. That's awesome. My life is now complete. Well, do you know Jesus better because of it? Not really, but I memorized those verses. Well, then you're missing the whole boat. It's good to memorize verses. It's important. TBQ is a wonderful way to get into the Word of God. But if it doesn't translate to a greater, deeper relationship with Christ, then we're missing. We might as well read People magazine. Not really. But you get the point. That's a bit of an extreme example, but I think you get the point. We need to know the Word of God. And once we know the Word of God, not only will we know Jesus better, but it becomes powerful in the hands of the Holy Spirit. That's when it becomes powerful. When you have the Spirit and the Word working together, man, things change. Things change for the better. So He'll remind us of everything Jesus taught. It goes on. Well, Jesus went on to say that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things or show you all things. Well, that's interesting. What does that mean? Does that mean every one of us in here is going to be an Einstein? No, I am terrible at math. Anybody else in here terrible at math? Yeah, so I'm not the only one. I am bad. Now, I'm quick in certain things. Like if I'm at a restaurant, I usually give, a 20% tip. That's what I chosen to do, and I could figure that out in 3.5 seconds. I'm pretty proud of myself because my father was a controller. He was one of these highfalutin accountant types, right? When I was in high school I would ask him for help in some of these math things, eventually I just stopped asking him for help. Our relationship was probably better because of it. Either way, He gets down with the bill and he looks at it and he's like, okay. And he starts doing these things with his fingers. He's adding whatever he's doing. I look at that thing and I'm like, oh, $57. Well, 10% is $570. Well, you're looking at about what? 11.25. Hey, that's not bad. That's 20%. Boom, you're done. And I walk out, man, my peacock feathers are all out. Anything more than that It's bad. My kids, I'm not smarter than a fifth grader. Not when it comes to math. Josiah already knows. Now, he's in sixth grade, so I guess that don't count. He already knows more than I do. I'm not good at math. So is that what Jesus is saying? The Holy Spirit's going to make you some kind of genius in everything? No. He's going to teach us, show us all things. I think this speaks of wisdom. He's going to give us wisdom in every situation that we find ourselves in. He can do it through a prophetic word, a tongue or an interpretation, a word of encouragement. We see that happening a lot on Sunday mornings, and they've been very encouraging and at times very specific, right? It could just simply be that still small voice, if you will, within you that is changing you day by day, month by month, glory to glory with ever-increasing glory. Because I think one of the goals that we should have as Christians, as we are growing and maturing in Christ, is that we would see the world the way Jesus sees it. In other words, our worldview would change. We would see things through the eyes of Christ. And I'll tell you what, those who don't know Christ cannot see things the way Christ sees them because the Spirit does not live within them. But for us as disciples, we can. By the way, that's why you should not be surprised at all when you look around at the country or you look at our school systems and you say, I can't believe people do that. I can't believe people think like that. Whatever that is. Well, sure you can. They don't know Jesus. Why should they know what Jesus knows? Why should they see things the way Jesus sees things? They can't. Not until the blinders are taken off and they get born again and the Spirit comes to live within them. So it's kind of a waste of our time, I think, if we find ourselves constantly getting upset at the world. Because it's natural. Paul talks about the natural man versus the spiritual man. The natural man cannot see what the spiritual man sees because they're not regenerated. They're not born again. The Spirit doesn't live within them. But for us, man, we can see things more and more like Jesus. He will give us wisdom in every situation that we find ourselves in. I think that's very encouraging because I don't know about you, but I know that I can use more and more wisdom, especially as my kids get older. It gets crazy, I tell you what. So look at what the Holy Spirit's doing. He is leading us in all truth. He's reminding us everything Jesus taught. He's going to give us wisdom and show us and teach us all things. And there's one other thing too. And a lot of times we don't put these scriptures together. Okay? Many times we quote them separately. But that last scripture in John 14 where Jesus says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, right? That comes right after his discussion on the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? I believe there's a tie-in. Jesus is sending the counselor to us. When you get saved, the counselor comes and lives within you. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, brings his fruit. We talked about that not too long ago here on Wednesdays, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and anybody? Peace. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Could it be that he's giving us his peace through the presence of the Holy Spirit? You see how it ties together? That's the context. Then all of a sudden, Galatians chapter 5 opens up and you say, whoa, yeah. No wonder when I walk by the Spirit, I'm walking in peace because Jesus has given us his peace through the Spirit. Anybody want more peace in your lives? Yeah, I do too. Get in touch with the Spirit. Spend that time in the presence of the Lord. And as we talked about before, submit. Walk in obedience. And if you don't, if you do fall into sin, confess it right away. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Deal with it right there. And the peace of God that passes understanding is going to flow through you. By the way, the context of that, of course, is anxiety. But I think it works for all of that. So, he is our advocate. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. He is called to our side. There's one other thing. Well, do I want to do two other things? Two other things that I want to mention to you tonight about the Holy Spirit. The second one is, along with Jesus, and we just saw this in the book of Hebrews on a Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit's also our intercessor. Take a look at Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans or with words that we can't even utter. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Look at what these scriptures are saying. There's some good stuff here. Number one, he helps us in our weakness. Well, that's a great thing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, let's have a little bit of fun with this here too. Paul says, I will not glory in my strength, or I will not boast in my strength. I will boast in my weakness. Okay? First of all, that is the exact opposite of everything that we are taught in America. You are strong, get ahead, do what you need to do, all of those kinds of things. And we are to boast in those things. Think about what a resume is, right? You send out a resume, all you're doing is boasting as to what you've done. Jesus is the exact opposite. Scriptures are, Paul says, to do what? Paul says, I don't boast in my strength, I boast in my weakness. Why? Because it's in weakness that God's grace is manifested and that he is made strong. Isn't that interesting? That is a very interesting thought. When we are weak, God is strong in us and through us. And then get this, the Holy Spirit is going to help us in our weaknesses. Could it be the reason that we are strong when we are weak is because the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us? I think it's great. When scriptures start connecting like that, to me, that's when the Bible really opens up. That's when the Bible opens up, and I personally love that kind of stuff. Either way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. He is our helper. And it reminds me, it's one thing to know something, but it's another thing to have the strength to live it. So the Holy Spirit's not only going to teach you all things, show you all things, not only is he going to remind you of everything that Jesus taught, he is now going to strengthen you to live it out, in essence. You say, oh Lord, I know what you're saying here in this part of the Bible. I have a hard time with it. The Holy Spirit will come alongside and help you do what needs to be done. So think of him this way. The Holy Spirit is our helper who gives peace and power to live out in obedience. Whether you're dealing with trials, troubles, temptations, he is here to help us overcome even when we are weak. Not only that, but when we don't know how to pray, he intercedes for us. The term intercession here speaks directly to praying on our behalf. And he's praying for us with words that are not even spoken by us, right? With words that we can't even utter. Now, I've heard that's taught in a couple of different ways. As Pentecostals, one way that it's taught is that that is speaking in other tongues. But I'm of the belief that beyond that, it is also speaking of the fact that when you don't even know what to say in prayer, you're so down, so hurting, whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit is speaking on your behalf and you don't even know it. The cool thing to remember here and the key thing to remember here is he is literally interceding and praying for us. And get this, when he is interceding for us, he is always, always interceding according to God's will for your life. Jesus said what? Not my will be done, but your will be done when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Every once in a while, there's a time that you go through and you're finding maybe your prayers aren't answered the way you've prayed them. And the question is, okay, Lord, why? You know, I know that you can do all things, right? The scripture even says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible with God. I mean, you're read the scriptures. It's all right there. How come this is not happening? Could it be it's not God's will for your life? Could it be the Holy Spirit is interceding in a different way for you and he knows God's perfect plan for you? I've been using a lot of personal illustrations tonight, but they're just kind of popping into my head. I was a senior in college. I had studied jazz for years with one of the best guitarists I've ever heard. And I was playing in big bands and all this stuff, and I was making my plans. And I got into the second semester of my senior year, and I noticed something was off. Now, I've been walking with Jesus for a couple of years at that point. I noticed that my drive for to play professionally, if you will, was starting to die. And then I started realizing it was the Lord's fault. He was putting it to death in me. And I got angry. I did. I remember walking through Butler Music Center up in Mansfield University, saying to other musicians, I know the Lord is calling me to something else and it's not music and I'm not happy with this. I talked to them about it. It's just kind of funny when I think about it now, all these years later. But my will was to do what I wanted to do. The Lord said, no, I got something else. And I thank him very, very much that I bowed the knee to that. If I didn't, I wouldn't be married to Wendy. I would not have my five children. I would not be pastoring. Who knows what I'd be doing? But I'm not willing to trade this for that other stuff, you know what I'm saying? So I'm very happy with the way it worked out. But the Holy Spirit will always pray according to God's will, which is why it's so important to lock into the Holy Spirit, into what the Lord has for you. And if you're not sure, then wait upon him. Just wait. He'll show you. I once heard a number of pastors, I guess, say this. When you're not really sure what to do next, just go with your last marching orders. Right? Just go with your last marching orders. I used to drive myself crazy when it came to God's will. Oh, Lord, should I go here? Should I go there? I'm talking about going to a gathering of Christians. Should I do this, Lord? What's your will for me? No wonder I'm half insane. I drove myself nuts. Right? Now I'm kind of simple. I am where I am. I'm comfortable. Not comfortable meaning like, oh, I don't need Jesus, but I'm comfortable. I ain't got nothing else going on. And so I am where the Lord wants me. I'm going to relax and have a good time until he says do something different. Right? Go with your last marching orders. The key, though, is the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf according to the plan of the Father. That's pretty cool. So he's praying for you according to God's will. He's also going to empower you to carry out God's will and his plan and his purpose. And when we are walking in God's plans and purposes, that's where we find the greatest blessing. We can try to find blessing in other places. And we try. And it just kind of leaves you empty. And it kind of creates a bunch of nonsense. But when you find it in the presence of Jesus and his plan for your life, well, there's not a whole lot that can stop that. That's a real blessing. And so speaking of the Spirit's intercession, here's how one brother in Christ put it. He says, this is the cry of the Holy Spirit within for something more, something deeper, something more precious, something more satisfying than our present experiences. And it's always according to the will of God. As the apostle says, in other words, the job of the Spirit of God is in your life is to keep you pressing on so that you don't settle down and become satisfied. Now is not the time to be satisfied. It's a good quote. And so when we are weak, when we are struggling to obey and to deny ourselves and live the life of a disciple, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's in us, encouraging us, strengthening us. He's praying for us according to God's will. You are not alone. Please hear that tonight. You're not alone. He loves you, and he's called according to your side. There's one last thing that the Holy Spirit brings to the table when it comes to us as his disciples. And I'll just kind of say it the way the Apostle Paul says it. We have been sealed with the Spirit. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And then verse 14, if we could. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is pretty cool. As disciples, God has put his seal of approval on us by the Holy Spirit. And the seal tells us who we belong to. We belong to Jesus. It also says where we are going. We are going to live in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. And the Holy Spirit himself guarantees this. It's guaranteed. You're going to receive your inheritance one day, and your inheritance is in the presence of the Father. See, we've received a lot from God already, but we haven't received the fullness of the inheritance. That comes when we see him face to face. Okay? The Holy Spirit guarantees that. Wow. You can be at peace. Be at rest. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. As disciples, Jesus has called us to a high calling. There is no higher calling than to know him personally, to follow him, to be in a deep and strong relationship with him and with our Father. He's also called us to deny ourselves, our own will, our own desires, our own opinions, our own wants. Another place he says we are to pick up our crosses and live a life of obedience. And a life of obedience is a life of submission to him. And I'm not going to mince any words. It's costly. It costs us our very lives. It also costs Jesus his life completely. But we're not alone in our walk. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's interceding and praying for us, guiding us and teaching us and reminding us. His peace is our peace. His strength is our strength. He guarantees our inheritance, and neither death nor life, so on and so forth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So, if we have the very Spirit living in us, let's walk by the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. If we do this, we will live out God's calling on our lives as disciples of Jesus. And we truly will grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Sound like a plan? The Holy Spirit's ready. Are we ready? Yeah, go after him with all of your heart. Go after him with all of your soul. Daily, seek his face. That's good stuff. Let's go ahead and stand together. By the way, it just kind of pops into my head. I guess it did about a minute ago. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us by the Spirit. That's pretty powerful, right? So if you ever wonder, Lord, am I going to get through this? The answer is, yeah. Just trust me, says the Lord. I'll do it for you. Father, as we walk through this life, we realize as disciples that there is a high calling for our lives, that we would know you and know you better. Grow in relationship with you. You've called us to love people. You've called us to certain ministries and service. You've called us to walk in obedience and submission. Lord, it's a high calling, but it's not easy. I'm very thankful, though, that you did not leave us alone. You sent the counselor, the comforter, our advocate, our helper. Holy Spirit, give us such a heart to commune with you. And we would ask that you would strengthen us to live the life that you're calling us to live. We pray that your peace would be more and more manifested in our lives. We pray that your peace would be more and more manifested in our church, and that your power would flow through Emmanuel Assembly of God in a wonderful way. People would be saved, set free, delivered, and they would start on the road of discipleship themselves. And so, Father, I just want to take a moment to pray for this outreach that we have in just a couple of weeks. We lift up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to you. We pray for your anointing upon every invitation that is sent out through the mail or handed to somebody. We pray that there would be a power on the invitation itself to arrest a heart, to arrest a family, to draw them out to a Good Friday service. Lord, we're praying for hundreds of kids to our egg hunt on Saturday, not just so they can get eggs and candy, but Lord, they're going to hear the gospel. And so we pray for Pastor Caleb right now and the team that he's building, that you would use them in a mighty way, that kids would be saved. And Lord, for Sunday morning, as we hopefully will see this place packed out, that your power would rest upon us. Holy Spirit, that you would have free reign in this place, that you would give me the words to speak, Pastor Josh, the worship team, the other things that are going on, that everyone in this church right now would see it as an opportunity to love people and to reach out to them and welcome them. So, Father, we can do nothing apart from you, but in and through you, all things are possible. We're praying for salvations, Lord, and we're looking forward to see how you move during this time. We give you praise. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.